What does maturity look like? Well, maybe your maturity depends on who you're with. Maybe it depends on whether or not there's bubble wrap in the room. Or maybe, in the words of Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars, that's something I haven't seen in a long time. Well, we know what maturity looks like when we see it. We certainly see kids growing and changing all the time. They get taller and just grow to look older. And we'll tell them, oh, you've changed so much. Adults begin to look different, too, as we get more lines and perhaps more weight. We slow down a bit and certainly notice some gray hairs. I'll never forget the day that when we were younger, Kathy found the first gray hair in my head, and she pulled it out with a triumphant shout. And then I said, well, thank you for removing it. Now I don't have any more gray hair. But we know what maturity looks like physically, don't we? Academically, we can see it in grades and in degrees earned. At work, we can see more productivity, more sales, a healthier bottom line, or more production. Emotionally, we know we're maturing when we have fewer ups and downs, and we become less concerned with what others think about us. And we know we're spiritually mature when, well, what does spiritual maturity look like? That one's a little harder to define. Well, we've been doing the Red Letter Challenge series to help you learn to follow Jesus, and because following Jesus and doing what he says produces spiritual maturity. We've learned 5 things about putting Jesus' words into practice. We learned about being, knowing Jesus, not just knowing about him, but wanting to know him personally. We learned about forgiving, that we're all sinners, and that we need to repent and turn to Jesus for forgiveness and to find freedom. There's nothing we could ever do that would make God love us less, and there's nothing we could ever do that would make him love us more. He just loves us and forgives us, and so we forgive others. We learned about serving, about how Jesus commanded us to serve others as he did, how he washed his disciples' stinky feet, and so we don't have to go out and wash other people's stinky feet. We get to go wash their stinky feet. And we learned about giving, about how Jesus first gave to us freely and generously and lavishly, how God gave us the best he had, his own son, Jesus, to die for us. And so we give to others too. And we learned about going. You don't have to stand on a street corner or prepare a sermon. Just tell people who you know and meet that what God has done for you and who Jesus is. Well, we believe these things in Jesus and who he is and what he said. And that faith turns into action. And when we build then we are building our lives on something that is truly solid. Now, you recall the parable that Jesus told about the guy who built his house on sand and the other guy who built his house on a rock. Well, we might be tempted to think that, well, the guy who built his house on sand was really kind of dumb. Nobody would trust their house to stand if it was built on sand. Kind of everybody knows not to do that. Well, obviously, it is important where you build your house or your life. And houses and lives that are not built on Jesus are definitely built on shaky ground. But Jesus was also talking about how deep your foundation is. Is it deep enough to go through the sandy soil into the solid bedrock underneath? Have you gained some surface knowledge of the Bible and Jesus? Or did you go deeper, deep enough to really know him and mold your life around him? Spiritual maturity is about knowing where to put the foundation of your life, but it's also about building on that foundation solidly. The early church in the book of Acts gives us a great description, a picture of what maturity in Christ looks like in everyday life. The scripture says in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, Jesus entrusted his words and his mission to the apostles, who were to keep everyone faithful to what Jesus taught. Jesus knew there would be many false teachings in the years to come, and he knew that memories would fail and old habits and practices would resurface. The apostles were to keep the people faithful to Jesus' message by teaching and preaching and leading what they had first learned from Jesus himself. The people listened to them and learned from them how to follow Jesus and build their lives on him. Acts chapter 2 describes how the early church broke bread and prayed. So the people were regularly participating in the Lord's Supper and receiving nourishment for their souls by receiving Jesus' own body and blood. They showed love for each other by taking their concerns and their needs to God in prayer. We also learned that the early church sold their possessions and gave to the proceeds to those in need. Now, this is not some early form of communism. The people were giving voluntarily, and they gave as needed to those who were struggling. The early Christians attended the temple, and they broke bread in their homes. Now, these early Christians were still Jews, and so they went to the temple regularly to worship God, and they participated in the sacrifices and showed their devotion to God. But they were part of a new thing, and the fellowship didn't stop when they left the temple. They got together in each other's homes and had meals together. Maybe this is biblical evidence for the first church potlucks. They were involved in each other's lives. And finally, Acts chapter 2 says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, how did God do that? The answer isn't really that complicated. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the transformation of building on Jesus Christ, the early Christians were living transformed lives and displaying spiritual maturity. And that caused others to be curious about why. What would this look like today? Well, people who say they're Christians divorce at about the same rate as the rest of the world. They commit suicide also at about the same rate. And they participate in risky behaviors at about the same rates. But when Christians are transformed by Christ, they begin to look a lot different. Their lives look different. When a couple prays together every day, their divorce rate goes from about 50% down to 0.5%. When people go to worship God every week to be with other Christians and to learn and express their joy in what he's done, their suicide rate is 5 times lower. And when fathers stay married to their kids' moms, in other words, when they practice the model of marriage that Jesus affirmed, their kids are 4 times less likely to go to prison. I'm certainly not trying to be legalistic here. We are saved only by Jesus' blood, by his death on the cross, and not by our own actions. But when Christians pay lip service to Jesus, our lives end up looking like the rest of the world, and nobody else takes notice, and they see no reason to explore Jesus further. They aren't even the least bit curious about him, and we have fewer opportunities to talk about him, and we have to work a lot harder to earn the right to be heard. But imagine if every married couple prayed together every day, and the low divorce rate of Christians became so noticeable to the world that they wanted to find out why. Imagine if everyone who says they're Christian couldn't wait to gather in God's house every week, and the world began to notice that Christians generally have much better mental health and much lower rates of suicide. Well, wouldn't the world want to know more? Then we could tell them about Jesus and how he has transformed our lives. Maybe the people in the world would want to begin following Jesus too. This is why we are doing the Red Letter Challenge. The Red Letter Challenge is intended to help you be transformed by Jesus and building your life solidly on him as your foundation. But we are also offering other resources that will help you to build your life on Jesus and to help our church look more like the early church described in the book of Acts. For one thing, Christian growth does not take place in isolation. Now, I've talked a lot in the past few years about missional communities. These are different from Bible study groups, although study groups often do display some missional characteristics. A missional community is a group of people who are living missionally together. They are living missionally together. Now, I've asked some of Zion's members who are in a missional community about what is that like, and here's what they said. So the first question, what is missional living? John Burnt replied, missional living means being in the Word daily with devotions and prayers for others, trying to model Christ's love and service to others, and witnessing by serving. You know, John really captures that concept of being with Jesus and knowing him, not just knowing about him, but being with him every single day by being in his Word. The next question I asked was, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Kevin Birding answered, following Jesus means that it is all bigger than me, that I have the real greatest of all times at my side, that I can be wrong or right and still be loved unconditionally. We often talk about which quarterback is the greatest of all time, but Kevin has it right. Jesus is the real greatest of all time. And he also captures the idea that even though we're sinners, Christ loves us and died for us. My third question was, how does your missional community help you to follow Jesus? Dan Miko replied, I receive insights and encouragement from the members of my missional community via our Bible study time and the opportunity to help others in a group of my brothers in Christ. Now, if you know Dan, he is a walking encyclopedia about the Bible, but he understands that growing spiritually mature isn't something that happens instantly or overnight. It is a lifelong process. He is committed to being a lifelong learner and growing more and more to be like Jesus. Several other Zion members were gracious enough to be willing to make a video, and so far we've made 3 videos. Well, one of them is ready to post, and if it's not already, it will soon be posted on Zion's website. But I would encourage you to go check that out and be able to hear from several different Zion members as they talk in their own words about what does missional living mean to them, and what does their missional community mean to them too. Well, another way that Zion is trying to help you build your life on Christ is through a special streaming service that I've talked about before. I'd like you to think about, what streaming services do you have, do you use regularly? At my house, we use Netflix and Hulu, ESPN Plus, we have Disney Plus, Amazon Prime Video, YouTube. I think that's all we have. And some of those are costing us $10 a month, and some of them are free, but we have to watch a lot of commercials, and there's at least one that we have an annual fee that we pay to be able to do that. But then I realized, oh, we do have one more, Right Now Media. Right Now Media is kind of like a Christian Netflix, and it doesn't cost you $10 a month. You don't have to watch any ads. There's no annual fee. And the reason is because Zion is paying the subscription and making it available to all of our members for free. Now, a lot of our missional communities and Bible study groups are using videos from Right Now Media in their studies, and that's really great. But I want to encourage you to consider using it for personal use or for your family, too. There are at least a couple of thousands of kids' videos. And so, parents, if you are looking for good content for your kids that they can watch, you don't have to be worried about what they're going to see and hear, and content that will actually help them grow spiritually, then you might want to check out the videos on Right Now Media. But there are also a lot of good videos for you too. And just to highlight a few of them, there's one called It Starts at Home, and it's it's about helping parents be equipped to be able to teach their kids about God and help them grow in their faith. And there's another one by Dr. Jason Lyle that he tackles questions about Bible and science. So if you're wondering about those kinds of things, that's a really good video to consider checking out. And there are a series of videos about Christian finances, and like one specifically called Eliminating Debt. You know, Dave Ramsey has a couple of videos on Right Now Media, and Dave Ramsey often says that normal in America is broke and thousands of dollars in debt. So if you're normal and would like to stop being normal, there are some videos on Right Now Media that will help you. And there are videos to help your marriage, too, like this one called Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. And he wonders, well, what if the purpose of marriage is to help make us holy instead of helping make us happy? How would that change our marriages and take them to a whole new level of health? And another one to highlight is called Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. We know that we've got a real challenge of mental health in our country, and so there are a lot of videos on Right Now Media that will help people who are struggling with their mental health, or if you know someone, or maybe a family member who's struggling, there are a lot of videos that you could watch that would help with that. So we're sharing all these videos with you to help you build your life on Christ and to grow spiritually mature. Well, I hope you can see that as this Red Letter Challenge series comes to an end, we are trying to build spiritual maturity and to build momentum for a lifelong journey of following Christ and helping others to follow Him too. We are trying to build spiritual maturity so that your faith and your life can stand when the storms of life come. But a faith that is anchored in the saving work of Jesus Christ, a life that responds by being molded closely around Him, this is a house that is built on a solid foundation and one that will weather all of life's storms. Let's pray. Jesus, your words are precious to us. They are life-giving and life-sustaining. You give us life. We confess that we haven't always followed your words closely and nowhere near perfectly. Sometimes we don't give much thought to your words at all. Forgive us and make your words take root, not just in our minds, but also in our hearts, so that we are fully yours. Bind us together in unity and love so that we can be your body and that the world will see us and wonder why we are different. And then help us to point them to you. Amen.